say, written by Ben Robertson to my grandfather.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How interesting.
I don't remember the year, but maybe about 1920 or 25.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
How long was your uncle at the bank?
My brother.
Your brother, I'm sorry, yes.
He retired from the, he continued with the building and loan, but he retired from the bank, I would say, I don't know.
Were the bank and the savings and loan owned by the same people and
sister organizations? Well, they were run by Frank. And Frank, one time, he had the bank and the savings and loan and the insurance business. But now, as far as directors were concerned, I'm sure they were different.
Eventually, as I recall, the bank and the savings and loan were actually in the same building, weren't they?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And at one time, did they move on to the east side of College Avenue across the street from where they had been?
Yes, yes, yes.
And that was a brick building?
Yes.
Do you recall when they put up that building?
No.
Let me ask you more about buildings. You came here, you said, about 1930, but having visited some before then.
Yeah, yeah.
How much of downtown Clemson was brick building and how much was wooden?
Oh, I imagine most of it was wooden, but I would not say that. I'm not sure at all.
At some stage, a good deal of it was. Finding out when they changed.
Yes.
But the Sloan store, for example, was brick.
Which was quite an establishment.
Do you remember any of the other stores downtown, particularly? Was there a grocery store when you came downtown?
Yes, I believe Mr. Evans. At one time he had a grocery store.
That was called the community store?
Yeah, the community store. Mm-hmm.
Where was it located?
It was next to where the present bank is.
Nearer the college.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the community store.
So that would have been between the present bank location, the present savings and loan location, and the old one.
Not the present savings and loan. The present bank.
I'm sorry, I've got them reversed.
Yeah, the present bank location. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where did you do most of your shopping at the community store?
Frankly, I was not doing much shopping. I was living either with my brother or my uncle, and I just ate with them.
So you were relieved of
shopping?
I didn't do
any grocery shopping. And I was working, of course.
At that time, did you buy your clothes?
Yes.
And where could you buy them?
Oh, had to go to Greenville, you know.
Why?
I don't know why, because I've got to ride there, I think. Well, you know, either Greenville or Anderson. Even to get a pair of hose, you had to go.
You couldn't find them in Clemson?
No.
It seems, apparently, that Sloan's and Keller's and all the others catered almost entirely to the men trade because of the students.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So women were forced to go elsewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think people nowadays would call that sexist of a sort, wouldn't they? And long before any of the other types of stores would come in. You didn't make any of your own clothes?
No, unfortunately.
Apparently, especially in the earlier decades, Boggs Store was one of the great places to go to buy your cloth for that.
Boggs Store, that was really an interesting place, isn't it?
Tell me what you remember about it.
I don't remember much about it. I remember Uncle Frank talking to me about Mr. Boggs and that Boggs Store, but I really don't remember anything much about it. And if I was ever in that store, I don't remember it.
Or, I presume, if you were not there, you were not in the Smith Store either.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's go back then to the bank and check a couple more things about that. Do you remember any of the long-term employees of the bank?
I remember Norma Madden, who is still around, mm-hmm. who was there for some time.
Would she have been there at the beginning, or do you know?
Not at the beginning.
Do you have any idea when you moved here in 1930 about how many employees the bank would have had?
Probably Frank and one other person.
So a very, very small staff.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been a great boon for Clemson and Calhoun to have a bank here, because prior to that they had to go to Central or somewhere else for all their banking.
Central. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tell me about the insurance company.
I really don't know. All I remember that Frank saying to me that he bought it from Ben Robertson.
Was this before or after you moved to Clemson?
It was before.
So
I think it was before.
Sometime in the 20s,
yes.
Perhaps.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What kind of insurance was it? What brand name? or did he handle a lot of different policies?
Yes, I think so. I would say not life insurance.
Primarily fire
and theft and
theft and liability.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. I do not think it was life insurance.
Did it later become, I think, State Farm?
No.
Oh, never.
Never.
I suspect if I dig deep enough, I may find some of your brother's policies to my family, but I'll try it. Most of those things were thrown away, so
yes. Mm-hmm.
Things
mm-hmm.
that we have left. Was there any other insurance company in town?
No.
Did your brother, I think, also get involved in real estate at some point?
Very briefly. As I remember it, he at one time maybe did have a little real estate, but I think he got out of that in a hurry.
There was also, I believe, a Pedersen real estate, was there not?
Yes, I guess so. Mm-hmm. And also, Patterson Insurance came too, didn't it? After
yes.
After that, I don't believe there was a Patterson Insurance at first.
Was that in competition with your?
I think so. I'm not absolutely sure about this.
Did both of them survive?
I think so.
Yes.
I think so.
When did your brother retire from the bank or the insurance company?
I can't tell you. I really do not know. I know it was very recently that he retired from the building. He stayed as a chairman of the board at the building and loan for a longer time, but the bank and insurance, I don't know.
This will probably be a little bit harder for you to do since you came to Clemson several times before moving here in 1930. What types of things struck you about the town, and what were your visual impressions?
You know, being a country girl, never having been anyway, I just thought it was a rather wonderful place.
So you thought it was a fair-sized city.
Yeah, coming from the country.
What else struck you about it? Were there paved roads around when you came here?
No.
Was any part of the road paved anywhere?
I don't think so.
Not even out on the highways?
I don't think so, but I won't be sure about that.
Downtown?
I beg your pardon?
Was down any of the area downtown paved?
I don't think so.
What kind of sidewalks were there, or were there?
Well, they were just dirt, little dirt, kind of a trail. Mm-hmm.
If you were leaving from, say, Sloan Store, the intersection of downtown and the college, and heading toward Calhoun,
mm-hmm.
would the road have run then as it does now?
So far as I know, but I'm not sure about that either. I'm sure it has been changed some, but I cannot visualize it.
It certainly wasn't a nice wide four-lane,
no,
was
no,
it?
No.
When you came in 1930, did many people have automobiles?
I'm sure there were automobiles, but not whether there were many or not.
Did your uncle and brother have them?
Uncle Frank did, and when I came in 1930, Frank did. When Frank and Tab married, they did not have automobiles, because I remember his telling me about walking to the bank and at noon walking to the post office and walking back to the bank. But when I came, yes.
And did you have a car?
No. No.
Did you get one?
I got one when Uncle Frank let me have one.
I suspect secretary salaries at Clemson were not very conducive
to buying a passenger automobile.
You came in 1930. That was after the Depression had started, wasn't it?
Yes.
Was it difficult finding a job then?
Not particularly.
So there seemed to be ample jobs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Were there ever cutbacks in secretarial staff because of the Depression?
Mm-hmm. Not that I remember that.
I gather, however, from my mother that there were cutbacks in your wages.
Yes, definitely. Uh-huh.
Do you remember anything about that?
Well, not too much. Mm-hmm.
Did you say certainly you were getting more at the college than you could have teaching?
Mm-hmm.
That, in a sense, is not a particularly good commentary about the salaries paid teachers at that time, is it?
Well, you know, I had said I came in 1930. I'm not exactly sure when I came, but along about, because I finished Clemson in 25, and I taught for a few years, and I would say approximately 1930. And, of course, teachers were not paid a great deal.
Where did you teach prior to coming to Clemson?
I taught at Winsboro, South Carolina.
What subject or grade?
I fifth grade.
Did you know any of the Ryan family?
In Winsboro.
Yes.
I used to know a young man whose name was Ryan. What was his name? I've forgotten, but I didn't know the others.
They were closely connected, of course, at one time with Thomas Clemson,
yes.
Because Ryan was
yes.
his attorney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And wrote very frequently back
yeah.
and forth.
Yeah.
Having had a background as a teacher, did you pay much attention to the school system in Calhoun?
No.
So you had very little contact with that at all. One of the dominant figures, apparently, at the school was Miss Maggie Morrison.
Yes.
Did you know her?
I knew her, and of course she was a very famous person, a very famous teacher.
What was she like?
Well, I knew her as a member
person.
Of the church, you know, going to church, a very lovely lady. And nothing really outstanding that I remember.
What church was that?
The Methodist Church.
Which was located then where it is now?
Yes, of course, not the same building, but the same location.
At that time, it was a comparatively new church, wasn't it?
Yes, yes, because we did not, I understand they didn't have churches here for a while. Yes, it was.
And for whatever reason, the Methodists were among the last
yes.
to be established. Apparently, a large number of the students were connected with other churches. Do you remember any of the ministers when you first came here?
Jill Smith was here, and Mr. Chambers, and I frankly don't know those were among the first.
Was church fairly established in the sense that it started at 11 and got out at a reasonably prompt time?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. Sunday school before and church.
Were all the churches, as far as you know, reasonably good about letting people out on time?
I think so.
Some of them seem to have had somewhat longer services, particularly, I gather, over at the Wesleyan Methodist Church.
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What was the attitude or sense of the Methodist Episcopal people toward the Wesleyan Methodist?
I really don't know. We, as far as I know, we had no contact with them.
Just separation,
mm-hmm,
in a sense, without
mm-hmm,
rivalry
yeah,
or
mm-hmm,
one looking
mm-hmm,
up or down on the
yeah,
other or
mm-hmm,
anything
mm-hmm.
else. Were you ever at the Wesleyan Methodist Church
no,
for any of their
no,
services?
No.
I understand not only at the Methodist Church, but at all of them, that a sizable crowd at the Sunday morning services would have been the cadets,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
who still came together in mass.
In mass, and have the roll call. And
after they got in the sanctuary
no,
or outside?
No, outside. Now, that happened before I came about that roll call. I've just been told about that.
So that's something you don't remember?
I don't remember, no.
Do you think they were still doing it when you came?
I don't think so.
What then would have been the primary motivation for all these men to come to church, other than religious, but surely not all of them were religious enough they wanted to come to church.
You mean the cadets, you mean?
Yes, if they were not going
to
be a roll call.
I think they came because they had to. I mean, maybe there wasn't a roll call, but they didn't go away for the weekend,
mm-hmm.
as they do now, and it was something to do.
I gather also that the churches frequently sponsored social activities for the cadets.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. I don't believe they did it any more then than they do it now. It seems to me we are forever doing something for the children, for the students.
Well, since that's the greatest bulk of the population
yes.
in the area.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I gather also that it was quite an attractive position to be a single young woman with all the cadets
yes,
around.
Yes. It was really very nice place to come to live.
Very flattering, I
yes,
suspect, in
yes.
many ways.
Mm-hmm.
I gather also disadvantageous for all the local boys because they did not have
yeah,
a chance.
They weren't too happy about those cadets, that's right.
One more question on the church. I understand also that there were union services of all the churches in the summer.
In the summer, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They seem to have gotten along very harmoniously.
I think the churches got along beautifully together.
Did there ever seem to be any significant rivalry in the churches?
No.
One thing that happens virtually everywhere, it seems, is internal factions within a church. Did that happen, to your knowledge, with any of the churches in
not
Clemson
to my knowledge,
back at that
not
time?
Not to my knowledge.
So they either didn't have it or kept it very
right.
quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And in a small community, I don't think you could have kept it quiet.
That's
you?
Right.
with it being a small community, did people tend to know pretty much where everybody else was doing?
Everything. You go down the street, you saw a stranger, you had to find out where they came from. It was wonderful.
Was there any separation of any kind between the Clemson and the Calhoun communities?
Not that I knew about.
So you mixed and you people fairly well in
mm-hmm.
both. And,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The churches were basically all around the college,
yes,
so they
yeah.
mingled
mm-hmm.
there. So
mm-hmm.
you didn't see any distinction
no,
in the people?
No, none.
Let's go back, if we can, and pick up a name that you mentioned along the way, Ben Robertson. Did you know him?
I knew him briefly. I knew that he was a friend of Uncle Frank's, and he would come to Uncle Frank's. They would play setback together, I think. And I really did not know him real well. You know, he has a daughter living here.
Mm-hmm. Was he here very long after you moved to town?
No. I can't remember, but not a very long time.
I certainly don't remember off the top of my head when Red Hills and Cotton was written, but I think after
yeah.
it had come.
Yeah.
Did he have any type of reputation then as a writer?
Ben Robertson?
Yes.
No. If he did, I didn't know it.
So he was simply another one of the community.
Another one of the community. Mm-hmm.
What types of social or literary or dramatic or other types of opportunities were there in Clemson when you arrived? Was there a little theater yet?
No. Don't think so.
There certainly were movies going on at the Y.
Yes, and a few... Something at the university, at the college occasionally, maybe a concert or something of that kind.
Did they ever have a circus in town after you came
no,
here?
No.
I understand that there were some areas very over in Calhoun that accommodated one and two ring circuses and also tent revivals. Musical performances at the college?
Mm-hmm.
One of the places that was popular for performances was the amphitheater. Was that in existence when you arrived?
Yes, that was, I think it was. Mm-hmm.
Did you recall at any point hearing or seeing any outstanding speakers, singers, performers?
No, I'm sure they had some, but I do not recall.
Were these events at the college open to the public and free of charge?
As a rule, yes.
And what about the movies at the Y? How much did they cost?
I don't know.
Did you go to them?
Occasionally. Not often. Occasionally.
Do you have any idea when you first had a chance in Clemson for movies at a theater except at the Y?
I do not remember.
Would that have been just guessing in the 40s?
No, maybe so. I'm not sure. I tell you, lots of these things I'm telling you, I'm not sure about, you know.
Well, then, a lot of these things we didn't pay much attention to as we were coming along,
yeah.
Did we? Can you tell us any more about your work at the college, what it consisted of, who other people you worked with and for?
You mean when I was employed by the college?
Yes.
Well, of course, Dr. Allen was the main one, and of course, the other, any professor in that department I worked for, but I don't know that I could tell you about.
So you worked not only for him, but for the entire department?
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was head of the department. Mm-hmm.
What types of things would you do? Test? Research papers?
No. I was just a secretary. I just did typing and dictation and filing.
Typing tests, though?
Yes, typing tests, yes. Mm-hmm. But not correcting those tests, but typing tests, yes.
When you first arrived, was there a telephone in the office?
Yes.
So that was there fairly
yes.
early on?
Mm-hmm. But not one in everybody's office.
Did all the departments have secretaries?
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
About how many of there were you?
How many of
the secretaries.
You mean in this one department?
No, I assume there's only one in the department.
There were more than one. I was there plus some other people, other girls that were working in the department when I came.
So three or four or five?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That must have been a fair size. And
mm-hmm.
about how many altogether on campus?
Oh, I don't know, but lots of them.
I assume you would eventually know most of them.
Yeah, you knew most of them. And every department had kind of a head secretary with some helpers, as I did.
Mm-hmm. And I presume the head secretaries were even more likely to know each other and
yes.
talk back
mm-hmm.
and forth.
Mm-hmm.
propriety, if we can be a bit cynical, a campus gossip line
as
well.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember when I was a very young child going with my aunt over to Long Hall for break time. I remember how horrified I was as a young boy when the Coke machine in Long Hall went from 5 cents to 6 cents.
That was terrible.
Yes. And they had to change the technology to accommodate that extra penny.
Yeah, right.
What kind of breaks did secretaries get?
You had a break in the morning.
15, 30 minutes?
15, and a limit of 15. And as a rule, I don't remember breaks in the afternoon, but I'm sure there were maybe breaks in the afternoon.
How long for lunch?
An hour. An hour for lunch. And everybody went at the same time.
Went where?
Went home as a rule. You didn't have other places to go. I went to Ms. Newman's.
Well, that was good.
Yeah.
But Clemson was still small enough that everybody could walk pretty well from the campus to their homes.
Now, I do remember that a few people brought lunch with them.
But most people went home. Which meant either some very quick work or there had to be somebody at home ready to serve the meal.
You didn't do much about fixing your meal when you got there. Somebody had it ready for you.
Well, I can understand in an age where there were sharper distinctions on gender, that was fine for the professors, but what about for the secretaries?
not too good.
Assume they had to rush home and fix the food and get back in a hurry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It could be done, because I know my cousin Elsie used to do it, even as late as the 1960s, perhaps. From everything you're telling me, you sound as if it were quite pleasant and enjoyable living in Clemson.
Very. A wonderful place. Nice people. Nice people to work for.
When did you retire from the college?
I'm 85, and that would be 20 years ago, wouldn't it?
So when you were 65?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was it required at that time?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I assume, like other college employees, you were given a nice little plaque indicating your years of service.
Oh, yes, given a pot and a little plaque and things of that kind.
It was a much more personal age, I take it, to work at the college than it is now. Let's go back just a little bit more to your uncle. Do you remember any of his special friends around town?
Well, now, Mr. Robertson was one of his good friends.
And you're talking about Ben Robertson?
Ben Robertson. I'm talking about
the man who
sold the insurance to Frank. I'm talking about...
Okay, the older man.
Yeah, I'm talking about Ben Robertson's father. Which was Uncle Frank's good friend.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I also remember when Ben wrote his first book, I ought to have it to show to you. I got rid of so many things. He brought a copy to Uncle Frank, and it said to Cap Clayscales and Miss Cora.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, on that the young Ben had brought that. And as he wrote the few books that he wrote, he always brought Uncle Frank a copy.
Any other good friends of your uncle?
I'm sorry, I can't.
Let me ask a personal question and see if you know the answer, if you're willing to tell me. I understand from particularly over at Calhoun that there were people who enjoyed taking a nip now and then. Did your Uncle Frank?
Uncle Frank did. He always told me that he always had liquor in his wardrobe, I believe it was. And he said that the people that needed liquor at times would always come to him because they knew that he would always have it.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, he didn't use it a great deal.
Mm-hmm. So he was sort of a resource.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would this be commercially bottled or White Lightning?
Commercially bottled.
Where would he get it from?
I don't know that. I don't know where he got it from. But as a rule, he had some. But he did not use it a great deal.
But you certainly could not buy it openly in Clemson.
No.
Do you have any idea where other people would have been able to buy liquor at that time?
I do not know. Mm-hmm.
Certainly rather surreptitiously, I suspect, in a small community like this. Are there other things you would like to tell us either about Uncle Frank and Cora?
I believe not. I think we've covered it pretty good.
And your own career?
Yeah, my own career, which I am very proud to have been a part of Uncle Frank and Frank.
Well, I thank you very much. You're somebody whose name and you yourself I've known virtually all of my life, so it's a pleasure
talking
to you. Well,
it's good to meet you. I do give your mother my regards.
Well, I certainly will. Thank you, Beth.
Oh, you are welcome.